are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. We are called to make disciples and show the world our light. We are recruiters for Christ. We are recruiters for Christ. And if our words are loud enough, they'll know us by our light. We are recruiters.
What up, what up, what up? This is your boy, Adrian Reese, and you're tuned into The Recruit, brought to you by Soar Radio. Big ups to my man, PDP Richardson, for putting us on. And again, this is season two, show number two of season two, a fresh new season, fresh new start, same old thing, same message. And so with that said, we're going to start it off the same way we always do, and that's by going to the one who provided this opportunity, going to God in prayer. So all of you guys out there listening, tuning in, I ask you to just bow your head, let's go to God in prayer, and welcome him into what we're doing. Lord, we come to you, Father God, first of all, saying thank you, God. Thank you for this moment, for this time, for this opportunity. Lord, we ask you to just watch over us in this time, in this moment, Lord. Watch over the show. Watch over the conversation, Lord. Watch over everything that's asked, every answer that's given, that it may be glorifying to you, Lord. I ask you to just have your way in and through us. Watch over everyone that's listening, Lord, that something may be said that draws them near to you and not near to us. I ask you to just help us to decrease that you may increase, Lord. And, Lord, we know that this is your time to shine and not ours, God. We ask you to just help us to not try to take the spotlight, Lord, but redirect it back to you, Lord, because you are the one and true light, God. We are just to be reflections of you, God. And we ask you just, with all that said, just do your thing, Lord. Just do your thing and we'll be satisfied. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I'm excited about the show, as I always am, because this is an opportunity to really glorify God, and that's what everything that we do should be, to glorify our Father, our Creator. And so I'm excited about it. I'm really excited about it because the guest that we have on the show today, he is a great, he's like a father figure to me. He's been a mentor to me for so long, such a huge influential part. He's played a huge influential part in my life. And, you know, Mr. Ronnie Daniels, he goes by Coach Clyde. I say goes by, that's just what everybody calls him because they don't know his real name or they think that's his real name. But I'm excited to have him on the show with me because we're talking about tonight from the topic of serving others. Is it a burden or a blessing? And in looking at that topic and thinking about it and praying about it, God placed Coach Clyde on my heart. And y'all just have to excuse me. I call him Coach Clyde. You know, we cool like that. But he placed him on my heart. And just a little brief history on me and Coach Clyde. I always knew him growing up. He was a basketball coach, had a team called Showtime in the City League and all this. They had the, you know, the fly uniforms or whatever. I actually never played for him. I played against him. But he was a coach and always working with kids, always giving, always serving. And just was really there. And we got close, I believe, my freshman year in high school. We got really close to the point where we were talking consistently. He would just check in with me on a daily basis, kind of making sure everything was going good, always there, always helping, always serving. And he really opened my eyes to what it meant to serve and to give and to do it with the right heart. And we've maintained that relationship throughout high school, throughout college, and now into my adult life. We're still just as close, and I'm thankful for him. And I know the crazy thing is that the relationship I share with him, he shares with so many other people. You know, he's just as close. They trust him just as much, and he's poured into their lives just as much. And so with no further ado, I'd like to bring on, give a big recruit welcome to my friend, a father figure in my life, Mr. Ronnie Daniels. What's up, Coach? What's going on?
What's going on, Adrian? Man, it's a blessing. It's a blessing, man, just to be here to talk to you tonight, man. I thank you so much for that great introduction. Man, I'm just so proud of you until I don't really even know what to say. You know, again, like they say, my name is Ronnie Daniels. I am from Longview, Texas, and I was born and bred here, been here all my life. You know, love to travel. Love to travel throughout the world. One thing I found out by traveling throughout the world is people are the same everywhere you go. You know, everybody has the same needs, the same wants. And it's just a blessing, man, to be on your show tonight, and I'm looking forward to what God's going to do.
And it is a blessing, and I'm excited about it, and I'm looking forward to it too. But you stated how your name is Ronnie Daniels, but as I already kind of mentioned, I call you Coach Clyde. That's all I ever known you as. I think it was maybe 3-4 years went by before I even actually knew that was your real name. So where did Clyde come from? How did you get that name?
That tickled me because, to tell you the truth, man, there's still people that don't know my name is Ronnie Daniels. You know, Coach Clyde came about actually when I was a youth. I came up in what was, I guess you consider, a single-parent home. It wasn't really a single-parent home, but I didn't really have a good father figure in my life. You know, my mother did everything she could. And I got to a certain point in my life where I was proud to realize that I needed a man in my life. I needed somebody to pattern myself after. And basketball came into my life about my junior year in high school. I didn't have any kind of prompting to go out for the teams and everything. So I started looking into professional players. And there was this man by the name of Walt Frazier. And they called him Clyde. And he became my role model. I started studying, and I just wanted every boy needs some man to pattern his life after. And I've never even met Walt Frazier, but that man has done so much for my life. You know, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame not long ago, and I'm so proud of that. But that's where the name Clyde came from, because not only did I want to pattern myself after him on the basketball court, but there was things that he did in the New York area. He went into the housing projects, and he worked with kids. And it's just so, you know, ironic that now that I sit back and think about it, you know, he was really shaping my life then. God had put him in my life then from that far off, just being a role model from that far off. But everybody needs somebody to pattern their life after. And they started calling me Clyde when I was in high school. My game was more like a Earl Monroe, and they tried to call me that, but no, I wanted to be Clyde. So it just stuck. And that's how the name Clyde came about.
Oh, okay. And that's really kind of, I'm trying not to say crazy, but that's amazing.
Yes.
Just how you said, you modeled yourself and you after Walt Frazier, somebody who was famous, an NBA star, somebody you didn't know that didn't know you, but somebody who made an impact on your life that was dramatic. And that's so encouraging, honestly, because I grew up with my dad. My dad played such a major part in my life and still does. But I had a male role model, male figure in my life, but there's so many men as well as girls, so many boys and girls who don't have that male figure, that father figure, and how that's a perfect illustration of you don't have to have a face-to-face relationship with the person for them to impact your life, for them to serve as a mentor, for them to shape and mold you as a person. And it's just the fact of really drawing to that person and connecting connecting with that person on their beliefs, what they illustrate, what they do, and allowing that to shape who and what you are and what you stand for. And that's amazing just to know that, because like I said, you said you don't know him, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't know you. I don't know. You got a little pool, but I don't think you got that much. But he doesn't know you. But
one thing I want to say, one thing about Frazier is that he wasn't one of those real fancy type of ball players. I was more drawn to his charisma, his coolness. He had a certain calmness about himself. And I got a feeling that God has a way of putting people in our life. I always feel like people come in your life for a reason, for a season, or for a lifetime. And when you figure out, you know, which one it is, you know what to do. Now, here's somebody that God put in my life when I was in high school. And he's still a part of my life simply because of the way that he carried himself. And I guarantee you right now there's somebody listening, and you know that there's somebody that look up to you in a way that if you aren't carrying yourself in the way that you should, then you're going to affect more than just your life. You're affecting somebody else's life, too.
And that's exactly it, because my daddy always told us, you know, there's always somebody watching. You may never know who it is. They may be watching from afar, or they may be right next to you, but it's always somebody watching. And you never know what type of impact you're having on their life. But you have to make sure that you're walking right and that the life that you're displaying is in line with God's will and what God ordained and what God calls to be righteous. Because you may be the only Bible that some people see. But in not saying that you're going around quoting verses or throwing Bible scriptures at them or being a Bible thumper, but just living, doing right, saying no to things that are wrong, saying yes to things that are right, serving and being there. And like you said, Walt Frazier played such an instrumental part in your life. Now, you started the Showtime basketball program in Longview in East Texas, and it was you traveled around a lot and traveled with your teams to different tournaments, even different states. And it was somewhat like a select basketball team. You pretty much had the cream of the crop, so to speak, when it came to talent, the talent pool in Longview. Everybody wanted to play for Showtime. Now, I know Walt Frazier shaped you as a man, your heart for basketball and your heart for others and just everything he did. But how did the inspiration to start Showtime basketball program come about? What brought that about for you?
Okay, let me take it back. Just talking about role models. That's the whole thing right there. It's about being a role model. And a lot of times, there were people that I realize now that were role models in my life, even when I was a boy, that I didn't even realize they were role models until I got older. When I sit back and you go talk about Showtime, I think about my grandfather. My grandfather is what I consider to be he was kind of a mean man. You know, he wasn't real affectionate. Back in the day, he worked real hard and everything. But that's who reared me. I lived with my grandparents, you know, until I was pretty great. So my grandfather was one of my first role models, and it was indicative of him even sometime in my coaching career, the tenacity that I had to push somebody because he pushed me. Another one of my role models was Martin Luther King. I got to get these role models in there because this is what made me into what eventually ended up in my basketball program. It's these people that was in my life, with my grandfather being one that pushed me so hard and wanted me to be the best that I could be. And then Dr. Martin Luther King is somebody that made me so proud to be a black man, you know. Uh-huh. And then that's Walt Frazier. You know, Walt Frazier came later on in my life when I was in my high school years. And I even thought about people, one of my role models, my pastor right now, is Archbishop John L. Lawson, Jr. I'm a member of Miracle Tabernacle Prayer and Praise Cathedral here in Longview. Harriet Tubman even was a role model to me because she got to the point, and this is where Showtime comes in, because when she freed herself, when she made it to the North and got her freedom, she went back into the South and freed over 300 slaves, you know. So a lot of times we get out, we have a tendency to feel like we're out and we just keep going. I wanted to go back and meet somebody. You know, there was somebody back there that was just like me that needed somebody and needed some kind of plan to come out. Now I got the role model that nobody will ever change, and that's Jesus. That's my role model now. But what I wanted to do is I got to that certain point of me feeling as though I first of all got to a point that God had gifted me to in a way that I could see that I could have an influence on young players, on young people. I'm the oldest of 8 kids, so I've always been around kids. My mother worked hard, you know, and we would be home every day, and I was good at organizing. The girl, 8 kids. I had 4 sisters and 3 brothers. So we had the house that was the house that everybody came to in the neighborhood, you know. So I had to organize that thing and keep it. Even back then, I had to have organization. The girls played on one side and the boys played on the other side. Mama got off work at 5 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, after you get through playing, everybody got to clean up the house. You can't come back tomorrow. My mother died to this day, and when she came home from work every day, the house was always clean. She didn't know I had a whole crew there, you know. But that's the way it was, though, as far as organizing. So that was something that God was putting in me even back then. And as I got to a certain point where I didn't start playing basketball until I was in 11th grade because I didn't have a father figure. I didn't have somebody to push me into basketball. So I went out. It's a long story behind that. I don't have time to tell you about that today, but it's an interesting story how I got into basketball. It came and got me out of PE class. Out of a PE class that saw me play because I didn't have any confidence in myself that I could play organized basketball. I was good in the park. I was a good park player, but as far as running plays and things of that nature, I didn't have that kind of confidence. And as I got to the point where I did well in basketball, I got a scholarship, went to college for a while, and it's just something that I wanted to reach back and touch somebody else that still didn't have that confidence like I didn't have. It's almost like going back, like Harry Tubby did, going back and getting somebody and influencing them and encouraging them and making them believe in themselves. And as I started going there, I started this Showtime basketball program in 1985, and at that particular time, I was not saved. I didn't give my life to Christ in 1987. And just being a role model is what I'm talking about. I can't sit back and be a role model for boys or for girls or for anybody unless I'm the best that I can be. And there's no way I could be the best that I could be without Jesus. And Jesus is to push me into me being the best that I could be. And my whole program, it just took a whole different, it became a ministry. It wasn't just a Showtime basketball team. It was a Showtime basketball program, but it was really a ministry. We had three priorities. The five priorities of Showtime was God first, home and family second. I said home and family because I wanted those kids to realize that they had to do chores at home and they had to support their family, their brothers and sisters. They had to be obedient to their mom and their dad. That was the second, was home and family. The third one seemed not to be academics. It was very important that they had academics, that they did good in school. I gave rewards all the time for just good grades and stuff like that because it does take a village to raise a child. Also, number four was athletics, Adrian. That was number four on the list. I heard you say we had the team of the crop or the basketball team, but those guys weren't – I didn't go around picking the best players. I would take players that had talent but didn't believe in themselves like I was and through hard work. But it had to be God first, home and family, academics, athletics, and then last had to be their friends. So they needed their friends. They needed girlfriends. They needed homeboys. You need that as part of your makeup into manhood. And that's how Showtime became. And I did that for 25 years, and it was a blessing. And I guarantee you, I got much more out of it than I probably gave into it. And to God be the glory.
And that's a. I mean, you said a mouthful there.
Just yeah, that's all from the heart and the truth.
and just the importance of role models.
Yes.
And how role models, like you said from the beginning, Walt Frazier being your role model, someone you model yourself after, how we all need role models. But a lot of times, sometimes we can feel as if we were robbed of a male figure, whether it be a father, or whether it be a coach or whoever it may be. But at the same time, we're blessed in the sense of everybody watching the NBA, everybody watching sports, everybody watching TV or reading a book or whatever it may be. Like you said, talking about Martin Luther King and Harriet Tubman, there's role models everywhere. They don't have to be right there in front of you, talking to you every day, calling. You find role models. You choose your role models. Your role models don't choose you. And that's really something that I want the listeners to really hear and understand, because it's not just kids that need role models, but us as adults, we still need role models. And go ahead.
And Nathan, one thing I wanted to say was when we sat back, I tell you, when I first got to the point that I realized that I could be a role model, because I was a pretty good basketball player. Like I say, I didn't have enough confidence to go out for the team, but I did go out. When I did go out for it, I made the varsity my first time out. Ended up getting a scholarship and shocked everybody. But after I went through my college plan and started working, I started playing a lot in the community, just playing. And when you go to the basketball court outside or inside and you hear young boys come up and say and start calling your name, you know, they're looking up to you. And see, that's what get me so upset with these professional players. You know, you are a role model. I'm not even going to go to the professional player. You are a role model. You just listen to me right now. You are a role to somebody. I don't know who it is, but I guarantee you can think of somebody right now that you are a role model to. And there's somebody that you look up to that they might not even know, and you've never told them. Because we're living in a time now where there's so much pride, you know what I mean? You don't even want somebody to know you look up to them, you know. But the bottom line of it is, I don't want anybody looking up to me. I want them looking up to God. You know, I want them looking up to me. That's what I want. And that's why I always try to carry myself. When God came into my life, man, it just changed everything. And I never try to remember what I did for somebody. I do it from my heart. And like I say right now, a lot of the guys that I've coached, they'll come back and they got these stories and stuff that they tell about that something that I said or something that I did. I go a long way to sometimes half the time I don't even remember because I didn't do it. I did it at that particular moment, you know. Now, when you go to talking about when I played ball, I was kind of like Walt Frazier, you know. I was good, you know, and the older I get, the better I was. I want you to know that. So, but basketball is a sport. I think it's the ideal sport to teach boys to become men because it involves so much. You know, you got to have quick thinking. You got to have teamwork. You got to have passion. You got to have so much. It's just a great sport. It's a sport that I love and one that God imputed into me to use as a minister. And everybody has something that they're good at. I don't know what it is. I don't care if it's women, if you can't do nothing but cook a cake. It's something that you can do that you can teach somebody else to do. We've got to the point now even where young people don't even want to listen to the older people. The older people have a lot of wisdom, you know, but we've got to be able to use that wisdom. We get to a point a lot of time that we don't want. I'm at an age right now where people keep asking me, am I going to ever coach again? Well, I don't think I would ever coach again. I'm more of a consultant now because I still love the kids. That's what God put in me. So I still have some stories and some wisdom that I can help other young coaches or other young players. But kids now, man, they've gotten to the point that even with the game itself, they don't want to work on the fundamentals of the game. They prefer to shoot the three or dunk. And they're missing out on a whole lot more in that game as far as the teamwork aspect of it. The same thing that you can use in life. I believe the way a person plays basketball is the way they're going to live their life. And basketball can teach you a whole lot about life.
And it can and you said a lot there just in how you said the fundamentals. You know, players don't want to learn the fundamentals or just dribbling or basic layup or shooting free throws, the fundamentals of the game, which is really the foundation of how you build a team, how you win the game. But everybody wants to shoot a three. They want to dunk. They want to do the things that excite, that get people on their feet, and that make people scream and holler. They get their name and get their picture on the front page or whatever it may be. And that can be parallel to our Christian walk because
right.
You look at us as Christians. You know, God called us to serve, which is our topic today, serving others. But God called us to serve, but in serving, it's not glamorous. It's not always glamorous. But and just like you said, people want to shoot the three. They want to be seen. They want to shoot the three. They want to dunk. But it's the same in Christianity or in our Christian walk. You know, a lot of times, and I'm guilty of it myself, we want to do things to where we're seen. We want to be the preacher. We want to be the pastor. We want to be the one singing or leading the Bible study or doing whatever or the ones that people call prayer. We want to be the ones seen, but we don't want to serve in a sense of, just like you said, women may be able to bake a cake. We don't want to be the one to serve to where we bake or we cook and we just take a meal to the family that needs it and nobody knows about it. But it's the fact of we want to be seen and we want to be heard. We want everybody to know, hey, I'm serving. But that's not the heart of it. And like you get on before, you know, everything you did, every story you shared, every encouraging word you gave to people, you did it from the heart. You didn't do it to be remembered. You did it because that's what God put on your heart at that time. And Justin, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say one thing about everything. It's all about relationships. You know, we get to the point now where relationships are the most important thing. You know, having a relationship with people. But you got to have that relationship with God. You know, people don't want that relationship now. You know, a relationship is making some sacrifice. You know, everybody sit back and say they want to follow Jesus until they find out where he went. See, they don't want to go to that cross. They don't want the suffering. Everybody just want, you know, they want what they want, you know, and not willing to do what it takes to get what somebody else has. And that's what I'm saying. That's what's wrong with a lot of the youth today. That was one thing that got to a point as I got older that when I got to the point that I started losing passion for the kids, and I felt like God was moving me into something else. And because parents, they're guilty of giving kids too much. The kids right now, they're missing out on the fundamentals that it takes, because the journey from going from A to B, you learn more in between A and B. You don't go from A to B and learn anything. And there's too many parents now that's giving their kids B when they haven't even come from A. They just want to move to B. And my life was always like that. I always had to, fight for everything that I got. I won't use the word fight because I never was a fighting type person, but I had to earn everything that I got, And that's the pride that I have in myself, because I love to see kids that sit back and don't want anybody to give them anything. There are kids now that don't mind asking you for something because they don't want to work. We got so many lazy kids now, and we're just in that world right now, man, that we really need to get back to the basics of holiness, of praying. Mm-hmm. We sit and say we took prayer out of school. Well, who took? You ain't gonna be able to take prayer out of me. We ain't gonna be able to take prayer out of you. Who took prayer out of school? Who allowed prayer to leave school? That's what bothers me. You sit back and say that they took prayer out of school. You can't take something from somebody if they want it. Uh-huh. We're in a time right now that we got to fight. You see what the world is like right now? The world is just going down right now, and we as Christians are being too quiet. We got to start speaking up, you know. And one thing that I did that I love with the Showtime program, I still got to go back to what you said at the beginning, because that's been said so many times that I had the cream of the crop. No, I didn't have the cream of the crop. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The cream rose to the top, but you had to churn that. I had to churn that to get that cream to rise to the top. It seemed like we had the cream of the crop. But see, that cream don't rise to the top until you put some work into it. And I didn't want the kind of players that thought they were, the Kiss Meow or the prima donnas, you know. And that's one thing that kind of hurt my program at the end, was I started getting parents after the program got popular, because of hard work. I wanted the kind of kids that nobody else wanted. You know, that's how Jesus came. Jesus came for the downtrodden. He didn't come for those kids. He didn't get their reward. I still feel that way today. Give me those kids that nobody wants. You know, they got more heart. You know, a lot of times they're like that because nobody ever gave them a chance. They never gave them love. A lot of people don't give love because they never received love. You know, and that's all we need to do now. And we as Christians have a duty right now to reach out, not to those that's already up there. I get upset a lot of times with the kids now. They go to buy sneakers, and they won't even say, I want a pair of Nikes or a pair of Adidas. They want a pair of Jordans, or they want a pair of KDs. They call them players' names. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that putting those shoes on their feet, you putting expensive shoes on feet that ain't going nowhere. You know? Mm-hmm. So they really feel like putting those shoes on or putting on certain attire, certain clothes, is going to add value to their lives. But see, that's on the outside. That's the outward appearance of a man. I believe in building from the inside, you know, because you can sit back and take the ugliest shirt or the ugliest pair of shoes it is, and you put it on 15 people, and all of a sudden it becomes popular, because that's how we are now. We're looking at the majority and what everybody else is doing. No, and that's what we got to get away from. Kids say they want to be different, you know. At the same time, they don't really want to be different, because they don't want to take the serpent. And if you want to dare somebody, dare to be different. Dare to be yourself.
Uh-huh.
I can remember we had these T-shirts made up, and my boys were going to school before they started these uniforms and stuff, and they would say, Showtime for Jesus. Oh, man, that was good. Showtime for Jesus. And that was for a long time. Showtime for Jesus. Yeah, the program was called Showtime, but what are we showing? Showtime for what? Showtime is pulling the curtain for something, you know. But my program, I want it to be Showtime for Jesus. You know, it's time for us to show people. It's showtime for us to show people how a good Christian boy is supposed to react, how he's supposed to live. And it was a blessing, man, and I give God all the glory for it.
And you, even piggybacking off of that, how you said you had to showtime for Jesus, I can remember, and I always remember everything you did. You post some of our summer league teams in high school. And everything you did, whether it was basketball, anything you was affiliated with, you started and you began and ended and all the way through with prayer. And you put God first, and it truly was showtime for Jesus. and just putting God first, and in that way, like you said, building, you wanted to build from the inside out.
Yes.
Because, you know, and that's something I'm grateful for and thankful for, even with you. You know, I come from a godly household. My dad's a pastor. My mom is a godly woman. And but at the same time, even having you along with them to help better instill Christ in me, that was you serving in a way that couldn't be seen with the natural eye. And so sometimes, like you said, in serving, nobody wants to serve. Nobody wants to serve. They don't want to, and it's the same can be said in basketball. Nobody wants to be the one with the assist. They don't just want to pass the ball. They want to go behind their back and be showy in giving an assist to somebody else. And
one thing that's bothering me about what's happening today, and I still love the game of basketball. I still love all sports. But a lot of kids that's doing that kind of stuff, they are being allowed to do that. One thing that I would love to see right now, we go talking about, okay, a game. Somebody starts a game. It only starts with maybe one or two people, you know, and then all of a sudden the gang is – everybody wants to be a part of something. We aren't putting enough stuff out there that's on the positive and on the spiritual level for them to become a part of. Everybody that's doing bad and running with the wrong crowd, they really don't want to be with that crowd. They just ain't got nothing else to be with. They ain't got nothing that they feel like is strong enough. That's what Showtime was all about. Because those guys right there wanted to be a part of something, and I would see them walking down the street. You know, first thing I'm looking for is height. If they had some height on them, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Hey, man, do you know how to play basketball? No, I don't know. I don't know how to play basketball. I said, well, you want to learn how to play? I ain't never played. Well, just come up to the gym. Come up to the gym and work out one time. If you work out one time, you don't like it, you don't have to come back anymore. You know, but I'm praying on that young man. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And most of the players that I got was just like that, Adrian. They were not players that, you know, that I knew they was having 20-point games in school. I didn't want that player. You know,
mm-hmm.
I want a player that didn't feel comfortable even going out for the team. That's where my joy came from. That's what I'm talking about as far as me serving. And that's what I'm saying right now. When you get to a point now, and I'd just like to encourage somebody right now to start something. Start something in your neighborhood. Start something in your church. Start something at your school. Just get. It might start out with one or two. It might start out, you know, but it's going to increase. I mean, it started increasing. I can sit back and remember the Longview football team that won state that year. I was affiliated with them a whole lot. We had this thing in my church called Team Wrap-Up. And those guys went back to the high school and asked the coach, because they was part of the Showtime program. And they asked the coach to come in before practice and after practice. And I got the article to prove it. The coach said, I've never heard anything like this, but I let it go on to see how it was going to work out. He said it started out the first day was only maybe 4 or 5. The next day was 6 or 7. And every day it just kept growing. Because he prayed for, there's power in prayer. There's power. And God withdraw. But nobody is bold enough and willing to sit back and start it. You know, we're talking about going to pray at the pole and everything. You know, somebody, you know, the one that you got to really target is the one that, because that one that's popular at school, that's all that, they're just doing that simply because they want attention, because they don't have anything it's directed to. And I would just like to encourage somebody to start something at your school, even if you're popular or if you're not popular, you know, at your church, in your community. Just start off with something. Get you something to show unity. Everybody wants unity. And that's what we had with Showtime. We had so much unity that it was contagious. You know, everybody wanted it. You know, they other teams just couldn't get, because God is with unity. That's what puts unity together, is having God as the head.
And that's, like you said, in serving and starting something, being bold enough to start something and to start something to service a need that is a present need. And I just want to ask you, you know, in serving and staying on with our topic, serving others, were there times, you know, I know there were times, there had to be times, you know, that it may have felt more like a burden rather than a blessing. And I just want to ask you that. Were there any times that it felt like it was more of a burden than a blessing? And do you think that there are times when it is a burden? Or can those two be intertwined?
You know, that's an excellent question. And I, you know, because I'm human. And because I'm human, I'm going to always get kind of worn and ran down with certain things and hurt. You know, you get to the point that you put so much into it and it seems like you aren't getting anything out of it that you want to that you want to get out of it. You make the sacrifices, and you're doing more to help somebody than they're willing to help themselves. That's just life. Now, and all the time, and this is what I've learned from that. Whenever I did things like that, looking for something out of it from the person that I was doing it for, I would get burdened. But see, I had to get myself to a point to realize that what I do, I have to do it as unto the Lord. And I did always listen. I mean, that's it. Because, see, you got to realize that I might have been just planting a seed.
Uh-huh.
Or I might have been watering a seed that had already been planted. But we always know that one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. And that's what I had to get to that point to realize. Even to this very day, you know, I still do a lot. I still love people. I love people because I love God. And I am God's representative. You know, I want God to show his love through me. So even to this very day, and there's somebody listening right now, I know you're doing a lot for somebody, and they just don't even seem like they even appreciate it, and you want to say, I'm not going to do it anymore. But you know that person needs you. I'm talking to me, too. You know that person needs you. You got to do it as unto the Lord because we're working for God. God will give us our reward, not that person. We can't expect people to do for us to do back for us. If that was the case, then we would need God. You know, we could just do things for people, and then they would do things for us. But how are we going to get back and just do for people that do for us? No, that's not how God works. So to answer that question, yes, a lot of times I would feel burdened, but I would never feel burdened again because I do everything as unto the Lord. It's almost like loaning money. I cannot loan you money if I can't afford to give you the money. Because if I loan you the money, you're supposed to pay me back, and you don't pay me back, I'm not going to get burdened down.
Mm-hmm.
I say, no, I can't afford to give it to you, you know. And that's the same thing it is on anything that we do. Our time, our love, our effort, anything we do it without looking for nothing in return from the person we do it for. Because God bless us. If we're able to do it for them, God has blessed us to be able to do it. And if he give us blessing to bless others. And we got to release that blessing in order for us to get other blessings. If we get the blessing just keep it for ourselves, no, that's we're going to end up just like they are.
Uh-huh.
There's never going to be enough. God got more blessings than we can ever. That's not true about that. That's really it's a blessing for you to even ask me that because that's blessing me for me to sit back and think like that. That's why I don't remember a lot of stuff that I've done because I don't do it from – people do stuff for you 5 years ago, and they can tell you they loan you $5 at Neiman Marcus or $5 at the mall 5 years ago. And that's not because you did it looking for something in return.
And that's exactly it. You know, we are. And I say we because I'm included in those people. You know, I'm better at it now. But there's still times where I still know some people that owe me some money. Because if anybody knows me, they know, you know, I count my money and I hold on tight. But at the same time, you know, God is working on me. God has brought me to a point where he's helping me to better serve. And in so many ways, a lot of times we attach serving to money, to, and I was guilty of this when I was younger. You know, I say, well, when I get to the league and I get this money, then I help, then I give. Then I'll come back and I'll do this where I set my parents up, give to my family, and I'll do all this when I get there. And, you know, I'm 12 years old now then, but that means, okay, it's 10, 15 years in between time before I get there. What am I going to do then? What's going to happen in that in-between time? And, you know, God has really opened my eyes to how I'm to serve and I am to give in what I have an abundance of. Now, I still don't have a lot of money, but one thing I do have a lot of is faith, and I'm going to give it and I'm going to share it with everybody I know, and that's something that I know that we all have to really understand that it's not the fact of we got to have a lot. Just to really pray and ask God to open your eyes to what it is that you have an abundance of. You may have an abundance of knowledge on whatever it may be, on working on cars, fixing cars. Or like I said, I feel I have an abundance of faith because I can find a positive in any negative. And that's how I know that God made me that way for a reason. That's why God put me on the air now. He put me as a steward over the recruit. This is not my show. This is God's show. But he has me to lead it at this point because what I have an abundance of, I can give it. I can give it all tonight. and then I'm still going to have some more left over to get up, go to work tomorrow, and have faith enough to know that God is going to take care of me. And it was a great man told me on just Tuesday that now in society today, we have more of a wealth mentality. We want to have more. We want to have more than enough for me, for ourselves. But God and the Word tells us to have an abundance mentality. Now, like I said, wealth mentality means, you know, we have more than enough for me, for myself. And abundance mentality means there's more than enough for everybody. And that's, I mean, that hit home with me because I'm like, well, God, I know you're talking to me. Because here I am, all I'm saying, how can I acquire wealth? How can I become wealthy? And when I am wealthy, then I can give. But in thinking about it and looking at it from that angle, it's like, okay, I'm trying to acquire wealth, so I'm going to think, okay, this is mine. But if I have things in abundance, I give freely. I have an abundance of faith. I give that. I have an abundance of hope. I give that, and I don't expect you to give it back to me because that's not the heart I gave it with. And, you know, like you said, and like the topic is talking about serving others, is it a burden or a blessing? I can honestly say that I think sometimes it can be both. And what made me, I was thinking about this and I was praying about the topic earlier today, and God brought to my mind of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. Now, him dying was service to us, the sinners. It was him serving us in dying and giving his life, but it was a burden for him, but he had to carry his cross. And the Bible tells us that we can't follow him if we're not willing to carry our cross. And our cross is different. Every one of our crosses, every one of our burdens is different. Jesus' cross burden, he didn't want to die. It hurt him to die, for people to beat him, for him to have to carry the cross up the hill, for them to drive those stakes through his hands, through his feet. That was a burden for him, but at the same time, he was blessing so many. And that was amazing to me how, you know, our burdens are maybe burdens for us, but in us viewing them as a blessing for others, it allows us to properly carry that burden in a way that it doesn't weigh us down. We can carry it, and we don't just walk with it. But we can run with the burden because we're running and carrying the blessing to somebody else. And, you know I've been going on for a while now, but it's just amazing how, just in thinking about God and how God works and how he, just being able to see God. And that's something that I know that I saw in you, I've always seen in you over the years, and how you serve and how you give. And it's just amazing to me that you're still serving and you're still giving. Now, I want to ask you, was there ever a time, and I know there was, but of people saying that, you know, you do too much, or, you know, they try to take advantage of you serving, and did that make you want to give up, or what made you keep going on in spite of that?
You know, that's a good question, too, because what the deal is on that is, I think the only people that have ever told me that I was giving too much were people who I wasn't giving as much to them.
Uh-huh.
You feel me on that? Because we're in a situation right now where, like I say, I know that all that I have and all that I will ever have comes from God. And I'm always, you know, I'm always seek him as to what I'm supposed to do with it. So nobody can tell me what to do with what God has given me. So if they feel that way, then there's a selfishness in them that I have to make them see themselves, you know. And that's we talk about that faith a lot of times. And, you know, everybody says you got to have faith. You know, faith ain't receiving, you know, what we want from God. It's accepting what he gives us. You know, that's part of in being content, you know. And that's what I always have looked at, you know. Whatever God gives me, one thing that I love about me is the joy that I have. Because that's one thing that I want. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. And the way I keep my joy is J-O-Y. The J is for Jesus, the O is for others, and the Y is for yourself. As long as I put Jesus first and put others after Jesus, and then myself, I'll keep my joy. Now, that has to be happiness. Happiness is conditional. You know, it's got to be something happening for you to be happy. You know, that's the only thing I lost you about happy and everybody slanging and everything. But are you really happy? You know, happy is a condition of the heart, you know. But that joy goes all the way into the soul, into the spirit. I will always maintain my joy because I got it from God, and I won't let nobody take it from him by making me feel like I'm doing too much for somebody. Because you never say I'm doing, I can't do too much for God. I would never do. Everything I do is for God. So I can't do too much for somebody. Amen?
I'm going to give
because, like I say, God gave his only begotten son for me that I might have everlasting life, and this life that he gave me, he died for me to have this life. Now I want him to be able to live his life through me. So there's nowhere in the world that I can ever feel as though I'm giving too much, because everything I give, I got it from God. And I want to give like he gave. I just want him to be pleased with me every day. And if all of us get that kind of attitude, we won't sit back and feel like somebody owes us something. Nobody owes us anything. I mean, the air that we breathe don't even belong to us. Our life don't even belong to us. You know, everything that I am belongs to God. So I would never be down or depressed and feeling like, you know, somebody's done me wrong. Because everything that would happen to me, it has to go through God. Everything goes through God. So if we get that attitude, that's the attitude we need to get in the churches and our families, as head of our household, that we can sit back and carry ourselves like that, that will draw people to us. And we can tell them about the joy that we have. Now, I guarantee you right now, you know, you're feeling down and depressed because somebody's done you wrong, God would never do you wrong. Put all your trust in him. Just put the trust in him. That's what I've done. I put all my trust in God. And I'm on a journey for God. But God is also on a journey with me. He's with me.
And that's that's exactly it. Like you said, in joy, Jesus, the J standing for Jesus. I like that. I had to write that down. I stole it, but I'm gonna reference you though. But you said joy, the J standing for Jesus, the O for others, and the Y for yourself. And I mean, just looking at that order, in that order, Jesus first, because the Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom, and all these other things will be added. And so, I mean, that's the secret to success right there. There's so many books. There's so many DVDs, audio tapes, whatever it is, how to be successful. Go to Matthew 6:33. I believe that's the scripture, that to seek ye first the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. That's success right there. And you said it, that that's what we need. That's what we need. We need to put Christ first. And I want to take this time, this moment, for whoever's listening, and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, here's your chance. Here's your chance to get that joy, to get your priorities straight, understanding that a priority is just one thing and not 10 things lined up beside each other, but one thing has to take the lead, and that should be the J, enjoy Jesus. And this is the time that you can accept Jesus Christ into your life. And those of you who have accepted Jesus, but you're in a backslidden state and you hadn't been walking upright, you can pray this prayer with us. And all of you, whoever's listening, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, I invite you to just pray this prayer with me. And if you're ready to surrender your life to Christ, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sin. I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone that came to him forward. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen.
Amen.
And for everybody who just prayed their prayer with us, we just want to be the first ones to tell you, welcome to the team. Welcome to the team. Thank you for joining the squad. We just became that much stronger. And, you know, the title of the show is The Recruit, because at the end of the day, like Coach Clyde, you and I both know that we're all being recruited for something. Every single day we wake up, we're being recruited for something, whether it's good or bad. You go to your mailbox now, I guarantee you'll find a business listening to you that have your name on it, and then they'll say, or to current residents. They don't care who it is. you've been recruited for something, but Jesus Christ, he's the same. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care what your background is. All you have to do is surrender. Just say yes. And that's the and the crazy thing is, and I just want to say this real quick, and then I'm going to bring you back in. But the crazy thing is, in any 12-step program, if you go to a Gamblers Anonymous or AA meeting, whatever, the first step to recovery is admitting you have a problem that you can't fix. And that's the first step in accepting Jesus Christ. It means you have a problem. You're living a life that you can't save yourself. And I'm excited about everybody who just accepted Christ. And I just want to encourage you that with everything, in every recruiting process, there comes a time of commitment. And that prayer you just prayed, that's your verbal commitment. But you have to sign on the dotted line. And the way you sign on the dotted line is in the life that you live every single day. Every single day, giving your all to Christ, walking upright in his ways, learning, studying to show yourself approved, getting in your word. You're not going to be perfect. But every day, just try to be a little bit better than the day before. If you make mistakes, repent with a repenting heart and mean it. And God forgives. And, Coach, I just want to thank you again for being my guest on the show, because, like I said, serving others, that's what I think about when I think about Coach Clyde. And I just want to give you this time. If anybody wanted to get in touch with you or have any questions for you, how would they do that? How could they find you?
Well, I'll tell you what, my ministry is Miracle Tabernacle Prayer and Praise Cathedral here in Longview, Texas. We do have a website if you want to find me there. Just get in touch with Adrian. He can always get in touch with me. But like I say right now, I just pray that something that I've said tonight has been encouraging to you. God is real. He's real. One of the biggest problems we got in the world today is I don't know and I don't care. And I just want to reach out to somebody and touch them. Do like that spiritual jumper cable. You know, there's somebody you can think of right now. You can just go to them and say, I love you. That's the hardest thing for people to say. There's three things that's real hard for people to say. And it gets down to the point that you can't say, I'm sorry. You say, sorry about that. You can't say, I was wrong. You say, my bad. But just say, I love you. You know, that is so much power in that, because God is love. Amen? God is love. And when you get through those spirit that you got where you can say it, then you can receive it. Amen?
Amen. And that's exactly it. And you heard him. He said his ministry is at Miracle Tabernacle in Longview, Texas. You can find him there. He'll be the one with the biggest smile on his face. So you can't miss him. And if you already know, you can follow your boy on Twitter and Instagram at soul_fisherman. That's soul_fisherman. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and you can hit me up on Facebook or email me at Adrian, A-D-R-I-A-N, at adrianreese.com. And if you have any questions for Coach Clyde, hit me up. If you have any questions, suggestions for the show, for the recruit, holler at me, because at the end of the day, I want everybody to know this is not my show. This is God's show. I'm just a steward he plays over at this moment. But this is our show. I want to make sure that you're hearing from God, you're not hearing from Adrian. You're not hearing from Coach Clyde, but that God is speaking to you, and you're hearing directly from him, and we're doing something to draw you closer to him and reflect in the light, not to us, but to him. And so, Coach Clyde, I just wanted you to give you this chance to have a final word. If you want to leave a piece of wisdom, a piece of advice to our listeners, you have the floor. Go ahead.
The one thing I want you to do is encourage everybody to get involved. To get involved, because there's something that God has put in you that only you can do. And you're kind of holding back on it right now because you think it might not work. But you got to go ahead on and make that thing work. Make sure that you talk to people. And when you talk to them, when you finish talking to them, make sure you build them up. Make sure they feel built up, you know, and not beat up. Amen? And this is what I want to leave with you tonight, is always have something encouraging to say to somebody, because if it ain't nothing but a smile, you won't even realize what a blessing to be, because there's a dark world out there, and we've got to be that light in a dark world, because all darkness is the absence of light. Amen?
Amen. And you heard it from him. You heard it from the man himself. Always encourage. Find a way to encourage. And, you know, there's nothing else that needs to be added to that because he said it all. Always encourage. Always encourage. Get involved. Find something. We all have a role to play. Pray. Ask God to lead you. Open your eyes to what it may be. And get involved and always encourage. Do it with a smile on your face because you don't want people to look at you and you're frowning all the time, but you're supposed to be walking in the light. You're supposed to be serving God, and they're looking at man. He's miserable. I don't want to live for God. But at the end of the day, always encourage. Get involved. And again, you've been tuned into The Recruit with Adrian Reese, broadcasting on Soar Radio. Big ups to my man, P2P Richardson. And we'll, the topic for tonight was serving others. Is it a burden or a blessing? And I want to thank you again, Coach Quiet, for being on the show, being my guest. I know you blessed me in sharing your story, your testimony, and just the encouraging words that you gave. Thank you again for that. And we'll be here. Season 2 kicked off 2 weeks ago, and we're now broadcasting bi-weekly every 2 weeks. Our next show will be on October 1st at the same time, 8 p.m., and our guest for that night will be Damian Reese, Pastor Damian Reese, my brother, my big brother. He'll be on October 1st, so tune in again. Come back, see us, same time, 2 weeks from today, October 1st, 8 p.m. And until then, be blessed and be real.
God bless you, hey.
God bless you.